and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
We Sudanese are awaiting that a full cessation of hostilities and ceasefire, and then engagement in aerial talks to put an end for the clash between the two parties.
The Sudanese National Army and the paramilitary rapid support forces resumed talks in Saudi Arabia Sunday.
I am a voice to tell those who did not believe in judiciary to keep the hope alive, to pray and to support ourselves so we can see the outcome of these tribunal cases.
A Nigerian human rights activist calls for cameras in the courtroom to broadcast the election tribunal where judges are hearing the dispute over the outcome of the February 25th presidential election.
The minister said the militants were regrouping at the time. The operation comes about a week after the Somali army said it killed 67 militants in the central Muduk region.
And Somalia's army kills Al-Shabaab militants. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. The Sudanese National Army and the paramilitary rapid support forces are scheduled to resume talks in Saudi Arabia Sunday. This, despite ongoing fighting in the Sudanese capital Khartoum. Reports say an agreement to protect civilians appears to have been ignored by the two warring parties. Analysts say the prospect of their talks seem bleak due to what they say appears to be a lack of commitment by the warring parties to end the conflict. For the latest updates on the violence and what the international community can do to help resolve it, I reach Saif al-Din al-Bashir Ahmed. He is the chief editor of El Masa News in English and a political researcher in Sudan.
Expectations are not very high here in Khartoum, because you know this war is not organized. So we Sudanese are awaiting that a full cessation of hostilities and ceasefire, and then engagement in aerial talks to put an end for the clash between the two parties, at least to get those rebels, the Janjaweed, out of the capital. People are pessimistic to some extent, but at least people feel that since there is some efforts exerted by the Saudi Arabia and the United States, then things gradually and maybe slowly will go to the end of this conflict, hopefully.
Why has it been that these two warring factions, despite agreeing to open humanitarian corridors, the fighting still continues?
Peter, within the declaration of principles, there is no cessation of hostilities. There is only opening the corridors for the humanitarian and civil services, including water services and electricity and maybe the communication companies, as well as the health services, including the hospitals, and allowing the patients and those who are traveling to some other states in Sudan to go their way without any obstructions.
What else do you think the international community can do? You mentioned Saudi Arabia and the U.S. government to ensure that there is a cessation of hostilities.
For the international community and the key player, the United States of America, the Sudanese expect them to admit that the rapid support forces or the Janjaweed is a militia. This is a key. Second, to press on this militia to get out of the civil areas like the hospitals, the airport, like the other commercial areas, and to get out of Khartoum. The second step will be to organize for them a camp, a big camp outside the capital, maybe 50 kilometers or so. And Sudan is a vast country, and there is a vast empty areas where they can locate this camp for those people. Then after, the solution will follow to try to get this militia inside the army for those who like to join the army, and the others can be set free. Even for their leaders, they can be a part of the army according to their qualifications and expertise in army jobs.
So where do the people of Sudan go from here?
The majority of families here in Khartoum either left to Egypt, 10 of thousands left to Egypt, other left to some other state in Sudan, where there is no any clashes or no war. The nearest state in Sudan is Al Jazeera state. So they are trying to shield themselves by leaving the capital for the moment. Not only bitter because of the conflict and the war, but even before of the lack of services, including the health services. There is no health services here. Maybe almost more than 87% of the hospitals are locked. There is no any pharmacies to find any medicines. Even there is a food shortage. There is no way for the companies to distribute the supplies of food to the groceries. So people are preparing themselves even now to leave. The nearest is Egypt, and it is easier compared to other bordering countries to Sudan. Some others, minority, left to Ethiopia and still planning to leave to Ethiopia. Sudanese states are not ready to host those masses of people fleeing Khartoum. So this is a case here for the people in the capital of the country.
Saif al-Din al-Bashir Ahmed is the chief editor of El Basar News in English and a political researcher in Sudan. He spoke with me from the capital, Khartoum. Ethiopia Airlines, seen as Africa's fastest growing airline, has inaugurated the second phase of its Skylight Hotel. With more than 1,000 rooms and five-star facilities, officials say the hotel is the biggest in Africa. It also incorporates meeting and event facilities, which can accommodate from small numbers to up to 5,000 guests. Located in a prime area about 5 minutes' walk from Addis Ababa Bole International Airport, the hotel, officials say, is a suitable space for both business and social gatherings. This after the airline announced it has also just received its 20th A350 aircraft from Airbus. The officials say the hotel and the growing route of the airline career, as well as a boost in tourism, are all part of a strategic plan to become a leading global player. For the latest development and why Ethiopia Airlines has become an African success story, I reached Mesfin Bekele via Skype. He is the chief executive officer of Ethiopia Airlines. Here is the conclusion of our conversation.
If you take cargo, our plan was to carry 710 tons of cargo by 2025. But even last year, we carried over 767 tons of cargo annually, which is higher than what we planned under Vision 2025. So in most parameters, we have already exceeded our targets set in Vision 2025.
Well, I'm sure you've heard some of your critics say that Ethiopian Airlines, some of the airlines are old and all that. But we also heard that you've taken delivery of some new planes. Talk to me about the new acquisition of these new planes. And I understand also that it's part of the effort to reduce your carbon print on, you know, as an organization. Talk to me about it.
Yes. One of the pillars of Vision 2025 was to modernize our fleet. And during the last 13 years, we have invested a lot of money to modernize our fleet. And now the average age of the airplanes that we operate is around 7 years. Our fleet includes state-of-the-art, modern, the most recent technology commercial airplanes, both from Boeing and Airbus. That is why we are having a very young fleet, or a fleet composed of young airplanes. And these airplanes, in addition to improving the customer service that we offer to our customers, they provide less emission, less consumption of jet fuel, which means less emission of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And our plan is to continue modernizing our fleet, operating one of the youngest fleet in the industry. This is part of our strategy.
Before you go, Mr. CEO Bekele, from where you sit as the chief executive officer of Ethiopian Airlines, what would you say are the future prospects of your organization or your brand?
Look, today, Ethiopian Airlines is recognized as the best airline in Africa. In fact, during the last 5 years, consistently, we have been granted as the award or recognition as the best airline in Africa. And we could achieve this because of the excellent customer service that we provide to our passengers, the reliable operation we conduct, and the age of the fleet that we operate, our performance in terms of profitability. All this gave us the best brand in Africa. In our Vision 2035, we have set new targets that will enhance our performance in terms of customer service, efficiency, environmental friendliness, continuing modernizing our fleet, and providing more digital service, digitizing the customer service that we provide. All these things will enable us not only to maintain our current brand, but to enhance it to new heights.
Mesfin Bekele is the chief executive officer of Ethiopia Airlines. He spoke with me via Skype from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to dumbolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
A Nigerian human rights activist is calling for cameras in the courtroom to broadcast the ongoing election tribunal, where judges are hearing the dispute over the outcome of the February 25th presidential election. The move, Patrick Osagi Eholo says, will ensure transparency and prevent supporters of the losers of the court ruling from engaging in acts of violence. His remarks come after a section of Nigerians called for television and other media platforms to broadcast live proceedings of the hearings. This, they say, will ensure the judges adjudicating the election dispute are not unduly influenced by moneyed interests to sway their vote. The election tribunal has begun hearing arguments from lawyers of former Vice President Atiku Abubakar and former Anambra State Governor Peter Obi, who are challenging the outcome of the presidential vote. For more on the call for live media broadcast, I reach Patrick Osagi Eholo. He is the founder of the NGO and human rights group called One Love Foundation.
The police have failed us in this election. Now that the INEC has failed us abysmally, the only hope we have now is the judiciary, which is the hope of the ordinary Nigeria. But a lot of people do not believe in the judiciary in Nigeria. But I am a voice to tell those who did not believe in the judiciary, to keep the hope alive, to pray and to support ourselves, so we can see the outcome of these tribunal cases. Because you see, who is on trial here? Not the INEC, not the police, not Tinubu with respect to him, not Peter Obi with respect to him, not the former vice president, but is the judiciary. Because I'm also advocating that the electoral tribunal should allow the camera into court so that every political party can present, you know, their evidence, so that the world can say.
People are saying that this is a serious national security issue, and that it cannot necessarily be broadcast like a daytime soap opera. And that is a serious business for that matter. So let the court decide on the way forward, rather than being pressured to have cameras in the courtroom.
I'm sorry, Mr. P. I think I disagree with that. They have their opinion and understand their opinion. But we'll have more problem if the youth, the women, those who went out, those who lost their family member, do not know the outcome of it, cannot witness it, cannot see the premier facet that people are presenting. No matter how it goes, they are going to be angry. And we don't want what happened in NSAS to repeat itself again. I therefore suggest that it would be better. What is insecurity here? It's not insecurity. They are coming out to present evidence of what happened. So there's nothing like insecurity. It doesn't affect national security. Except if they are going to behave like Mohammed Yakubu, who announced results at 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody was sleeping. A lot of people believe it was a daylight robbery. It was a rape in democracy in Nigeria. So I disagree with them, but I respect their opinion.
What do you say to those who are of the opinion that the Nigerian Supreme Court has demonstrated independence? When you take a case to court, you either win or lose, and that the losers must appreciate that the only arbiter in this case to adjudicate this case is the Supreme Court, and their decision is final. So Nigerians should not take up arms or go in the street or create chaos as a result of either favorable or unfavorable ruling from the court. What's your reaction to that?
The reaction is very clear again. That is why I'm sure that respectable erudite lawyer Falane also support my theory on this, that if the case is presented in court based on evidence and we are allowed to see it, I don't think there's any need for anybody to go and protest or, you know, take law into his hands. But when it becomes secretive, the way Yakubu Mahmood did it is going to be more of a problem. I think the evidence should speak loud for himself. So Nigeria will be convinced somebody must be a president. We cannot have it vacuum. So, but it must be clear and glaring. If you are going to be called the excellence, and you are a president, you're going to be referred to as your excellency, you must come in an excellent manner.
So let me talk to you about concerns some people have raised about traditional leaders dabbling in politics, endorsing people here and there. Particular instance, we're talking about the Oni of Ife. What is your take on that?
Well, I think with respect to our father Oni, Kabisi, I think he's a respectable monarch. I am also from Benin. The Yoruba and the Benin are very related. We share similarity in culture. But I think our royal father shouldn't be participating in politics, because we are children to them. They are our father. They have to, you know, advise us. They have to make sure that they are not supporting one against the other. Because everybody is reacting very, very, very bad to this. He came out publicly to say that the PDP and APC, PDP and Labour Party should share their sword. We have no sword, we have no dagger, we have no gun. If you are dissatisfied, you go to court and seek a redress. But I personally think that that comment was very divisive. You know, we all know that it's a very strong supporter of Asiwaju Bola Tinubu. And I think, in my opinion, he ought not to have done that. You can also see the reaction in social media. I think everything went viral. Even Hussaini of Arise TV also made some comment. I think they should stay off politics. They are royal father. They have no business with politics. If they want to be a politician, they should leave their throne and participate fully in politics.
Patrick Osagie Eholo is the founder of the NGO and human rights group called One Love Foundation. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja. Somalia's army says it has killed 44 Al-Shabaab militants in the latest offensive against the group in the Lower Shabelle region. For VOA, Ahmed Mohamed reports from the Somali capital, Mogadishu.
Somalia's Deputy Information Minister, Abdirahman Al-Adala, told the state media Saturday that forces from the intelligence unit with the support of international partners killed 44 Al-Shabaab militants in the Alifuto area about 200 kilometers from the capital, Mogadishu, near the Kuntuware district of Lower Shabelle region. The minister said the militants were regrouping at the time. The operation comes about a week after the Somali army said it killed 67 militants in the central Muduk region. The security forces have been conducting major operation against Al-Shabaab since the start of the campaign last July. The government said in April that more than 3,000 Al-Shabaab fighters have been killed since the start of the military campaign, which has been supported by the troops from Djibouti, Ethiopia and Kenya, since those countries agreed in January to conduct joint military operations against Al-Shabaab strongholds. Ahmed Mohamed for VOA News, Mogadishu, Somalia.
The recent documentary called History explored Zambia's democracy. Executives of the film traversed the length and breadth of the Southern African country to get the views of people about how deeply they have embraced the tenets of free and fair elections and individual freedom since independence in 1964. The film, the directors say, forms part of a broader national discourse on what democracy means for citizens. This, as Zambia features prominently as one of the most stable democracies in Africa. Current President Hakainde Hichilema defeated incumbent President Edgar Lungu in the last general election. Lungu ceded control in a smooth transfer of power. Zambia also recently co-hosted the Summit for Democracy organized by the White House, which attracted representatives from democratic countries around the world. For more about Zambia's journey, I reach John Mwanza. He is the director and producer for the documentary History.
Democracy in Zambia still remains something that a lot of us feel is probably detached from us. I mean, I think the fact that we go to elections every 5 years and we've got a change of government, you know, to an extent, yes, you know, most people do, you know, align with the concept of democracy, but I think the actual livelihoods and how that impacts them is still yet to be seen. I think that's generally where we are in Zambia, I would say, in short.
Well, John, I'm sure you've heard some friends or any acquaintances or even ordinary Zambians say to you that democracy is not good for Africa and perhaps a benevolent dictator because we do not necessarily obey some of the rules of democracy to make it more robust. When you hear such things, what do you tell them?
So with the film, we wanted to ask a lot of these questions. We wanted to examine this and get different perspectives on the issue because there is the academic approach on one end and then there's the social approach on the other end. And these are usually conflicting ideals because on the one end, most people would then say, look, what Africa needs is like you said, a benevolent dictator because for the large part, the very concept of democracy, say, for example, in the West, is very different from how democracy is going to work in a country like ours, Zambia. You know, in a country where we're still struggling to educate the majority of our population. You know, we don't have that level of exposure or education or access to information as, say, for example, a Western country has. So do we actually practice the same democracy that is practiced world over? Or is democracy or can we shape our own form of democracy? Do we abide by the same rules? These are all questions that are being asked within the documentary. And there's no definitive answer, really, apart from the fact that democracy has to work for people and it has to be a democracy that is shaped by the people.
John, with what you have seen and people you've interacted with about this documentary, do you think the people of Zambia, across Zambia, not the elite or those who are in the major cities, including Lusaka, do they get the concept of democracy?
Look, it boils down to the same issue I raised before, one that, you know, we are not a nation where every single citizen is literate to a level where they can understand some of these concepts. By far and wide, you know, these, for example, if you look at local representation, you know, the people in the far-flung rural areas, they have a representative that they choose, and that representative is given the task to represent their needs and their wants to the bigger government, you know, but their understanding of democracy ends there. You know, it ends at that level where, look, we've got our basic needs and these needs have to be met. And then perhaps once these needs are met, then we can start thinking about the broader picture and what it is that we're trying to actually achieve. So, you know, with that being the case, the involvement of a lot of these rural community dwellers, the largely not so literate people within our communities, their involvement is very limited.
was the purpose for which this documentary made achieved by exploring the issue of democracy, particularly in Zambia and beyond its borders?
So one of the key driving forces insights around this was, you know, since independence in 1964, we've had effectively with the past election, we've had three peaceful transitions of power. So by far and wide, this is a feat that I think a lot of our neighboring countries are yet to achieve. You've got countries which have had the same political party since, you know, for more than 20 years. So somehow we've managed to have these transitions of power. And so by far and wide, we're seen as a mature democracy. And so personally, I wanted to explore this and say, well, what does it mean to be a mature democracy? And you know, in answering that, one had to start with, what does the concept of democracy actually mean? You know, have we had democracy all along and we've just called it something else? Or, you know, is it something that is innately in us? What are the obstacles, and where is the country going with this concept of democracy? So when we started to unravel that, we then started to realize that this is not just something that was affecting Zambia. This is something that was affecting a lot of our neighboring countries. Swaziland, for example, which is still under a monarchy, and they've got a very interesting setup in terms of government structures. You know, so we started looking at and saying, well, are we the ones that have gotten it right? Or is there something else that we could do?
John Mwanza is the director and producer for the documentary History. He spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Encounter. Next up, a U.S. politics edition. A Manhattan jury finds former President Donald Trump legally liable for sexually abusing and defaming the writer E. Jean Carroll. A district court charges disgraced Congressman George Santos with wire fraud, money laundering, and the showdown over the debt limit between President Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. All this and much more next on Encounter on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley, and that will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from African Collection. It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Pete, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. The Cape Kino Classic, this season's third World Athletics Continental Tour Gold Meeting, took place in Nairobi on Saturday, where world leads were set, meeting records fell, and some major upsets happened. Ferdinand Omanyala brought a blistering end to the 2023 Cape Kino Classic when the Commonwealth champion stomped to victory in the world-leading time of 9.84 seconds at the Kasarani Stadium. The African 100-meters champion and record holder faced a strong field to win, reducing Americans Kenneth Banerick and Marvin Bracey Williams to second and third places, respectively. The result sealed back-to-back titles for Omanyala and means he remains undefeated this year in the 100 meters.
I expected to break the African record, but it's like 0.07 shy of that. So I'm sure in the next race, we're going to cut it down.
In other races, world 3,000 meters steeplechase record holder Beatrice Chepkoech won her event in 9 minutes and 13.51 seconds, while 2018 Commonwealth Games 3,000 meters steeplechase bronze medalist in the men's category Amos Kiriu downed 8 minutes 08.45 seconds to win, beating Commonwealth Games champion Abraham Kipwat, who was the defending champion, to second place, while Leonard Berth came in third. In the 400 meters, Zambia's Muzala Samakunga put away the men's 400 meters race in a meet record, shaving off the previous meet record by 2.24 seconds when he won in 44.25 seconds. And on to some football news. Nine-man Mamelodi Sundowns held on for a barren draw against defending champions Wydad Athletic Club in the first leg of their CAF Champions League semi-finals at the Mohamed V Complex in Casablanca on Saturday. Sundowns had to play with 10 men from the 42nd minute after Neo Muema was sent off with a straight red card following a VAR on-field review by the referee. They were further reduced to 9 men in the 92nd minute as substitute Marcelo Allende was sent off by another VAR intervention. Sundowns will now head to Loftus-Versfield Stadium in Pretoria next weekend, knowing any kind of victory will seal them through to their first final since they won the crown in 2016. Staying with the CAF Champions League, Esperance of Tunisia head coach Nabil Maloul has resigned from his position barely 24 hours after they were beaten 3-0 by Al Ahly in the first leg of their CAF Champions League semi-finals in Rades on Friday. The tactician said he made the decision in the best interests of the club, with the hopes of a continental title now hanging at the balance following the heavy home defeat to the record African champion. And now to mixed martial arts. The maiden edition of the African Knockout Mixed Martial Arts Championship kicked off on Friday night in Lagos. The tournament is being organized by Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian Nightmare. The former MMA world champion said the motive of the All African Championship was to bring together the best mixed martial arts fighters from across the continent to compete for the title of African champion. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Despite the best efforts of many African states to avoid being embroiled in Russia's war in Ukraine, it seems now that South Africa, the second largest economy in Africa and a credible industrial base, is being dragged into the quagmire. On Thursday, the ambassador of the United States, speaking in Pretoria, stunned everyone when he broke protocol and publicly criticized the government of South Africa for supplying arms and ammunition to Russia. He added that these weapons are going to be used to kill Ukrainians. It should be recalled that since the start of the Ukraine war, NATO alliance, together with the European Union, have been constantly warning China not to supply arms and ammunition to Russia. China had denied all of this, but have added that China is not the country spilling oil into fire. Also, there have been calls for North Korea to stop sending arms to Russia, as well as criticisms for Iran supplying arms to Russia. Only 2 weeks ago, the Common Market or the African Union announced that it was going to imply sanction against some commercial farms in Russia because they were selling products with dual use, which means it can be used for military as well as civilians. We therefore find the situation where, after the accusation of the ambassador of the United States, the representatives of the largest opposition forces in South Africa, the Democratic Alliance, endorsed the criticism of the ambassador and warned that the United States and its allies might sanction South Africa and that may be harmful to the economy. At the same time, it has been mentioned that the South African currency is already sinking in the market. One should also ask oneself what would happen if there is a massive sanction and create a slowdown of the market, of the economy. What would it mean for the neighboring states and what would be for the stability? However, one should say that there are puzzling signs in this allegation of the U.S. ambassador. One, why is it that after 5 months It is only now that the alarm is being sounded. In December, it is true there were reports that Russia had received arms in the middle of the night from South Africa, but no one followed up in this accusation. The issue then is, what is it that has prompted this accusation at this time? Taking into account the frequent calls for the West, for Ukraine, that they would be using their most massive counterattack against Russia. Also, there are certain puzzlements about this. First of all, why is it only now being done? But secondly, available information in South Africa would show that the apartheid regime, which once boasted a robust arms industry, have found itself in a degrading stage after majority rule. And it is only about 4 years ago that the arm industry is being revived in South Africa. But is that enough time for South Africa to have built up reserves of arms and ammunition for it to supply arms to Russia? In the end event, many concerned Africans will await the reports which have been ordered by the president for a judge and retired judge carry on a complete review of the situation and had asked the United States to provide whatever intelligence evidence it had. This we should wait for, and I say we should not move or make any other points, and I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
Thank you. all day, baby.
Listen, it's RJ. Shut up, Wally. And J. Chameleon.
Who to be conscious?
Alongside Morgan Heritage. Bon lady.
You can double it, touch it, pull it again. The way you're dancing, cool, baby, come again. The way you bubbly, baby, and you're whining in the disco. It's like you just won a beauty contest. Yeah. Now in particular, come get me your cellular. So that I call you and we play like fiddler. Automatically, plural, not singular. So beautiful, nobody contest.
So then.
catch Ebola, but I catch Corona. I don't know the owner, but by now you know now. Say the short term, no more way he got to me. Pain and below where he passed for me. Doctors and nurses never scatter we. If you not to God in partner for them batter we. 6 feet below ground, so get dust for we. But I tell God, thank you for me life. Thank you for me wife. Thank you for the people that we put in my life. And motor car bang me, I not die. Kidney fail me, I not die. Corona hold me, I not die. The Lord, we are the savvy, they are.
Jehovah, tell you thank you. The them not there, but the one that we don't die. Papa, I tell you thank you. The goodness of my sin, they follow me every day. It's not to you.
A blessing where they drop on me, body every night and day. I just let go higher. I need some macolum, plenty money in my pocket. I just want golum. Let me say, I know go better. Hey, you can take it. I come up on the poop, poop, poop. Thank you, Lord. You don't do one for me. I know better, but they won't wait. No much worry. Ebola and Corona don't come, but you still come on me.
Baba, make a dozen.
We all get permits, Papa God, one fine day. Corona, now that's send number. In, you carry me, Antigo. You carry me, Padigo. Hey, bro.
If not for the love of Jesus Christ, eh? Oh, Corona, for don't carry me. Go, 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 go. If not for the mommy blessing, eh? Oh, una for be don't bear me. Oh, oh, oh.
Jehovah, oh. Tell you thank you. Them not there, but the one day we don't die.
Disaster and all the illness, you keep me safe and you render me with goodness. I'm here standing, Papa, not you.
Papa, not you.
I thank you for the guidance, protection you sent me through. Papa, not you.
Jehovah, tell you thank you. Them not there, but the one that we don't die. Papa, I didn't tell you thank you. The goodness of my sin, they follow me.
She can tell me all her secret, and I can tell all my secret too.
She be my friend and me only party. Yeah, 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 yeah. We start to get used to each other. And they started wanting her more. She said she don't know what in they do to her. Me say I don't know what in she they do to me. I really wanna know what's up. Cause baby you don't make me brain box up. It I like this feeling don't they worry me mentally. Cause I don't attach emotionally. You think me start look na play play. And I be take a look na share share. Girl I never knew say na you go be the one. I never knew say na you go be the one. You think me start look na play play. And I be take a look na share share. Girl I don't know say na you go be the one. Girl I don't know say na you go be the one for me. Bestie, I think I found a lover in you. I think I found a lover in you. My bestie, yeah. My bestie. I think I found a lover in you. I think I found a lover in you. I sit and so, baby girl, I just wanna let you know. Say you don't capture me body and soul. Say baby girl, now you, baby now you bend bend. Make a talk like Alonzo. Or make a sing dump and calypso. Baby, you don't capture me body and soul. Baby, girl, now you been there. Yeah. If you no chop, I need a chop. If you no sleep, I know no sleep. If I no see you for a day, me I go sick. Girl, if I no see you for a day, me I go sick. If you no chop, I no go chop. If I no sleep, baby, no go sleep. If I no see you for a day, me I go sick. Girl, if I no see you for a day, me I go sick, oh. Cause baby you don't make me brain box up. It I like this feeling don't they worry me mentally. Cause I don't attach emotionally. You think me start look na play play. And I be take a look na share share. Girl I never knew say na you go be the one. I never knew say na you go be the one. You think me start look na play play. And I be take a look na share share. Girl I don't know say na you go be the one. Girl I don't know say na you go be the one for me. My bestie, I think I found a lover in you. I think I found a lover in you. My bestie, my bestie. I think I found a lover in you. I think I found a lover in you. My bestie, my bestie. Girl, I would die if anybody take you away from me.
Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we are on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nylon Africa team, including producer Nicole Peterson, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, the grasshopper that runs into the midst of fowls ends up in the land of the spirits. I'm your host, Peter Clotte, in Washington. Good evening, Africa. Ricci piri pa killer da savana.